You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Jasmine Guillory is a New York Times bestselling author, and her latest novel is truly the perfect summer read. While We Were Dating is the sixth installment in the Wedding Date series. Guillory's characters are usually people of color, and she addresses issues of race and consent in her books, as well as the real-life struggles that people of color face in our society. And Jasmine has been kind enough to join us today to talk more. Jasmine, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, let's talk about this new novel, While We Were Dating. It's about Ben and Anna. And Anna, she's a Hollywood actress on the rise who kind of maybe needs a boyfriend to help her get noticed by some Hollywood execs. Where did you come up with this idea?
You know, I think I am fascinated by kind of celebrity culture in America and the way that we sort of value celebrities, pay really close attention to them, and we pay attention to like very specific things about celebrities, right? Their relationships, mm-hmm. their clothes, their bodies. And there's really a kind of public-private contrast to the way that celebrities live their lives, because they have to have this public persona, but then there's still real people underneath. And so I really kind of thought about what are the things that celebrities get noticed for and get, you know, attention paid to them for. And you see it on the cover of like every celebrity magazine right now. It's like people's new relationships, or who are they mm-hmm. dating now, and what is that? And that does get, you know, actors and actresses, music stars, new attention, like their wedding pictures, or is that a secret kiss, and like all of that stuff. And so that's something that I really thought about in kind of figuring out this book.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I so appreciated was how you write about Anna's physical appearance. And what I mean by that is I think that there is such a there is such a stereotype of what a beautiful woman in the United States is supposed to look like, right? First, she's supposed to be white, she's supposed to be blonde, maybe a size two, but that might be a little bit on the big side. And you write about Anna as, you know, first off, she's African American and she is not a sample size. How important was it to you to really portray, this non-stereotypical ideal, especially in Hollywood?
Yeah, I think, so many of us see, there's so many different kinds of beauty out there in the world, right? And when we look at women in Hollywood, for so long, it was like they served us the exact same type of beauty. And now we're seeing a big diversity and realizing, I think people are realizing like, there's so many other things we can see and so many different other ways that we can appreciate beauty in people and beauty out there in the world. And so that was one thing that I really loved writing about Anna, is that, she doesn't like think of herself as, I think a lot of people want women who look like Anna to think badly of themselves. And Anna knows that she's attractive. And so that's one thing that I wanted, is to have people who are of many different look many different kinds of ways, understand how they're attractive to the world, but also know that they get criticized about it and kind of move on through that.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the other things that you wrote about in the book, and this kind of goes to this idea of why Anna might need a boyfriend to help her get noticed by these Hollywood execs, is she's trying to get this movie role. And she keeps being told, like, you're not a big box office draw, so let's try to get some attention. So maybe, the Hollywood execs will notice you more. And there's a passage that you write about where Anna talks about, look, I know that's basically because I'm African-American, but is that because African-Americans can't be a big box office draw? Is it because Hollywood only promotes, Caucasian people, basically? And I just thought the nuance of how you wrote about that and how matter of fact it was it just really made me stop as, frankly, as a white person and be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, so when you bring up these issues of race, I think you do it in such a way that is, it just every single time just made me take a little step back and think a little bit deeper.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, the core of my books are not about race. They're about relationships between people.
Yeah.
But in, you know, when people are in relationships who are of different races, they're going to talk about these things, right? And so I wanted those conversations to feel like conversations that real people have about their lives, their careers, what they're dealing with. As they're getting to know each other and as they're feeling more comfortable with one another and can really talk about the hard things. And so, so I want those conversations to feel not like a, you know, not like a big issue kind of plopped in the middle of the book, but at like an issue that Anna is sort of, is a matter of fact of her life, right? It's something that she's dealing with, but is not something that she, not the hardest thing that she deals with, because she, you know, she's been Black her whole life. Like, she knows what that's like. She knows that these are things that she's going to have to deal with forever, but it's, you know, it's something that she's sort of overcome and plans to keep overcoming. And so that's sort of, I'm glad that you said that it feels like that, because I want kind of these things to come up in the way that they come up naturally, but then they go on to have, you know, different things go on about their relationships and their friends and their families, to make a whole relationship between Ben and Anna.
And, you know, one of the things in the book too is, Anna's struggle with anxiety, and, you know, she and Ben both are see therapists. Ben, you know, goes because his father left when he was younger, and they talk about therapy very openly. And I so appreciated that, because I have to say, I haven't read many books that are, frankly, you know, a romance novel, right? That's not some really deep, heavy book that just openly talks about a mental health issues, right? Therapy and anxiety and, you know, I'm a mom to a kiddo that has some anxiety, and I so appreciated just the matter of factness of it, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I wrote this book during the pandemic, right? I wrote from beginning to end. And it felt natural to discuss mental health during this book, because everybody I knew was talking about mental health. You know, we were all going through it in the past year and a half. We've, you know, every therapist is overwhelmed with new clients, right? Everybody is talking about like the effects that the past year and a half has had on them, and then realizing that, oh, there's other stuff I need to talk about now too. And so it really felt not so much like it felt important to me to talk about, but just felt natural to bring this up in part of this book, because it was something that was on my mind the whole time.
So I have to say too, one of the things that I appreciated about this book was that I had no idea when I read it that it was part of a series. I didn't know this until I started doing some research, and I was like, wait, this is a series and it's the sixth book? I so appreciated that as a reader, because sometimes it's hard to pick up a book in the middle of a series and feel like you haven't missed anything. So I mean, was that intentional on your part to do that? Because I would think that that's pretty difficult to do.
Yeah, you know, I always want, I mean, I think each of my six books are all connected a little bit, but I do always want them to be able to stand alone so that a new reader can come in and it doesn't feel like they're missing anything, that the characters that are central to the story are, you're discovering them for the first time as you read. And then I think it's fun to be able to go back and discover, you know, other people who pop up in the books. And so I want it to work well for people who have kind of read the series, each book in a row, and who just picked up the latest one and then can kind of go back and discover new people. So I'm really glad that it felt like that to you.
It really did. Okay. And so for folks who may not know, this being a New York Times bestselling author is not your first career. You were an attorney before you decided to become a writer. Talk to me a little bit about that journey. Because, you know, I think some people might not realize there are attorneys out there that are great writers. And sometimes maybe we just don't put the two together.
Right. Absolutely. I think, you know, there are a lot of former attorney writers out there. I think there's like something about, maybe partly about the discipline that being an attorney teaches you that makes you a good writer. And then I also think that there's just some, like, there's a lot of writing that goes into a legal career. And so I think for me, it was kind of wanting to do a very different kind of writing than I did as a lawyer, that it was like, oh, this is so much fun. And I had so much fun. Right. You know, I started writing after I had been a lawyer for almost 10 years, I think. I think because I wanted something that felt very different, you know, to learn something new. I also think maybe, you know, as an attorney, you have to, you're in school a lot. And I always liked school. I always liked the experience of learning something new. And so that's why I started writing, because I wanted to kind of learn how to do it, you know, learn something new, learn a new kind of way of being creative. And writing fiction has really been that for me. And it's been so much fun. I've had such a fun time writing each of my books.
And I want to talk about something you mentioned that you wrote while we were dating during the pandemic from start to finish. Had you planned on writing this book during this time and then the pandemic hit? Or was it something like, you know what, like all of us, I'm stuck at home. I might as well, you know, in your case, you know, write another amazing novel.
You know, it was kind of both, right? Like I had planned on writing a new book. My plan was actually to start working on an outline for what was going to be my sixth book sometime last March. I was going to a writing retreat last March. I was a writer in residence. I was like, this is perfect timing. I will start outlining the book then, and then I will start writing it, you know, in April. I set a lot of internal deadlines for myself. Maybe that also goes back to my legal training. And that writing retreat, like the day we all got there was like that day that the world all fell apart, right? And so it all felt impossible to me. I mean, I wrote very little that weekend. I did not start writing a new book in April. And finally, I started writing mostly to keep myself occupied, you know, to keep all of the scary thoughts out of my mind. Like we were all going through something so hard. There was so much uncertainty. I was so worried about everyone I knew, you know, my parents, all of my older relatives, everybody I know who was a doctor, like basically everyone. And
yeah,
so I knew I needed something else to occupy myself with. And I was like, well, you know, I didn't really think I could write a book during the pandemic, but maybe I'll just try to write something just for myself. So at first I was really just writing the story, mostly just, I mean, because, you know, when I started writing, The Wedding Date is my first published novel. It was the first romance that I wrote. And when I first started writing it, I had so much fun with it. I loved working on it. I was excited to come home from work every day to work on it. And I really just wanted to have that joy again. So I was really, when I started writing while we were dating, I was really writing it for myself to like find joy somewhere during a time when it was really hard to find. And then finally, eventually I was like, all right, well, I guess this is going to be a book now, but it took me a little while to get there. Cause at first I was like, I'm just going to write a story for myself and see what happens. And then finally I admitted to myself, okay, I'm working on another book.
Right. I've written 200 plus pages. Maybe it should be a book at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
And before I let you go, since this is the first book I've read in this series, are you finished with the series, or maybe is there another one? Because I'm wondering if there's been a story about Penny, Anna's best friend.
There has not been a story about Penny. I have definitely heard from a number of people that they loved Penny in this book, which made me very happy because I loved her too. It feels like six books is kind of enough for one series. So I feel like this is kind of the last one of this group of people, but you know, never say never to another character popping up someday, kind of sometime in the future. I know my next few books will be a little bit different, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, Jasmine, thank you so much for taking time. Really, really appreciated the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Well, we've been talking with Jasmine Guillory. She is a New York Times bestselling author. Her latest novel, While We Were Dating, is out in paperback right now. And I want to thank all of you for joining us on Idaho Matters today. So appreciate your time. Our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.